Dr. Terry Allard is head of the Office of Naval Research's Warfighter Performance Department, reviewing the results of a forum on warfighter performance. Dr. Allard, thank you very much for joining me today. Were there common themes or takeaways from this forum that you're looking at now? Thank you for coming on today.
It's my pleasure to be with you, Francis. Yeah, there was a lot of exciting research and partnership that was happening at the Focus Area Forum. The two main areas we covered are new investments and partnerships in fleet-integrated synthetic training, and also we were looking at warrior resilience. The main issue for fleet-integrated synthetic training that we're doing now, it's really building on about 30 years of research and simulation-based training systems, where we're now able to integrate standalone training systems into a single integrated environment, which allows us to do multi-platform, you know, ships, aircraft, submarines working together on multiple simultaneous operational missions, and to do some using synthetic agents to represent friendly forces and adversaries.
Are all of the advances that you're seeing in simulation-based training because of advanced computing power, or are there other areas that are helping you to push the envelope there?
Well, there's no question that the impact of advanced computing is a tremendous enabler. However, the major advances that we're making is really in realistic synthetic scenario generation that enables both students and instructors to create these scenarios and that are more realistic to train as we fight, as we say. The other big issue is representing human behavior with artificially intelligent synthetic forces or expert models that help diagnose the skill levels of the students and to find out what they know and what they need to know and to be able to change the scenarios to address those skill requirements.
So is this going beyond the idea of just computer I think of flight simulators, and I'm sure that my frame of reference is much more limited than it should be, Dr. Allard.
Well, there's we've learned a lot from aviation simulators, and in fact, aviation simulation training is at the forefront of what we call live virtual constructive training. And the idea there is to get the benefit of using live assets like real aircraft or real ships, as well as allowing people to work with simulated in simulators and also to have simulated agents. So those combination allows us to really do team training or to be able to tailor the training for individuals, teams, or up to the fleet level.
How much of the feedback that you use to improve those training modules comes from the people who go through the training and say, as I go back to real life and use this information, use these skills, I would wish you would have included this or that or the other?
Well, if I understand the question correctly, what happens is that we always have done training from the perspective of the student and the subject matter expert instructors who are trying to figure out how best to do the training. What we've been doing with our scenario generation simulation technology is allowing the instructors to create scenarios that address particular training requirements. And that's an enabler, and if we can measure that performance and those skills, then we're able to help the instructors do their one-on-one interactions in a more effective way where they really know what the students need to know.
You mentioned that the other topic that you're taking away from this forum was warfighter resilience. What are the new developments in warrior resilience, Dr. Allard?
So warrior resilience covers a lot of ground. It can be physical conditioning. It can be emotional and stress resistance. It can be cognitive. So some of the things that we've just talked about in training are a way of developing cognitive resilience by letting people train in realistic environments. On the physical side, we're taking our cues in some sense from professional athletes who are really developing conditioning regimes that address particular needs that are job related, if you will. If you're a football player, maybe, and you play on the offensive line, maybe you need good lower body strength, for example. If we scientifically create a training regime that is tailored to the individual jobs, what we can do is reduce the number of musculoskeletal injuries and other kinds of adverse outcomes of physical training. On the emotional and stress resilience side, one of the things that we're working across government really is on fatigue research and fatigue management. Everybody, I think this is something, anybody that works with 24/7 operations has to worry about sleep deprivation. In some aspects of what we do in the Navy, in particular, for example, in submarines, where they're in a man-made environment under the sea, we have complete control of the light day, diurnal cycle, and we want to ensure that they're at their peak mental and emotional capability at all times. So with the fatigue management, what we're trying to do is to develop a scientifically based scheduling of the crew watches so that we can man these ships effectively and efficiently for 24 hours at a go.
Dr. Terry Allard's head of the Warfighter Performance Department at the Office of Naval Research, looking at the results and takeaways from the Warfighter Performance Focus Area Forum, the beginning of November. This is connected, your website says those forums introduced to complement your Naval Future Force Science and Technology Expo that's coming in February. One of the areas that you'll look at there is robotics, and we're seeing a lot more focus on robotics all across the military. What's on the horizon, in your view, for robotics in regards to warfighting, Dr. Allard?
Well, we have a lot of exciting work going on. One of the things, one of the approaches that we are looking at is bio-inspired systems. So, for example, how do we design the different kinds of robots we have? We have undersea autonomous vehicles that are based on how fish swim, for example. Or we're developing humanoid robots that can climb ship's ladders, they can help fight fires, and operate in a space that was designed for humans. I think the most important and exciting part of what we're doing within the Warfighter Performance Department is developing a human-level artificial intelligence so that people will ultimately be able to collaborate and communicate with robotic or software agents on a peer-to-peer level, like teammates, solving problems together, collaborating, but still taking advantage of the brute force computational powers that machines have.
Is that another area where just the raw advances in computing power and storage and clock speed are driving innovation, or are there other areas where in the AI realm that are advancing beyond just the raw power aspect?
Well, again, the computing power is an enabling capability, but the real hard problem is figuring out how do people think? How do people communicate? How do people learn? Humans are the most intelligent species on the planet, artificial or otherwise, and if we understand how humans can process information and communicate and learn, we can develop computer models that align to those and are comprehensible to the people that are accountable for the systems. So it's really, we haven't solved the problem of human intelligence. We've made great strides. And all that work is good for understanding how to train people, but it's also very good for how to develop artificially intelligent systems as well.
Dr. Allard, the Chief of Naval Research, Rear Admiral Klunder, called this forum that you did in November a low-cost event, put it right up front in the materials talking about it. Why is that important to note?
Well, you know, we have many different mechanisms to enhance our partnership with stakeholders in the research, development, and acquisition community and the operational community. Some of them are bigger meetings that just introduce, for example, the Office of Naval Research to these communities. And the focus area forums are a different way of doing that, specifically targeted on targets of interest to the joint community. So it's a more informal, we bring people who are interested in what we're doing specifically, we explore those, and we build the partnerships. And the whole point of the Focus Area Forum from my perspective, is to ensure that people know what we're doing now and that we have a unified vision of the future together. And you really can only do that at a local one-to-one level. So we had tremendous engagement with our industry, with other government sponsors, with the operational community. It was a great success.